Hello and welcome for another edition of Tipsy Wednesday. With me as usual, Björn.
Greetings.
And my other co-host, Thomas.
Hey, hey.
This is the most epic podcast from the north.
And also Junior, the main host of the evening.
Don't need an introduction. You know me by myths, legends.
Damn.
Yeah. How's your weekend been? Week?
Glorious.
glorious week.
Yeah, the week has been.
The week has been.
Yeah, it I've been working, been. I've been sleeping too little.
But during this weekend, me and Thomas went not for an adventure. We finished our adventure.
We went above and beyond.
Our adventure has finally ended at this present moment. Our Baldur's Gate campaign has now been finished. We have killed the big bad, done all the deeds, banged every woman. No.
But would you like to summarize it in short? You were playing what classes? Again, you mentioned before briefly, but I can't recall.
I was playing the monk with fists. I used open hand technique. I went and punched everything.
Okay. And Thomas was...
I was a ranger, and I dual wielded the handheld crossbows.
Okay. And with your attitude, did you just go with whatever you yourself felt as the natural choice of things, or did you... characters, or no. Was it just...
I actually rarely play evil characters during playthroughs in any RPG, because I always make the decisions I think I would have made in a similar situation.
Likewise. Yeah. I think that applies for most people.
But I saw a post today, and I think it's kind of accurate. There are two kinds of RPG players. Those who, on the second playthrough, do the evil deeds, and those who can't bring themselves to do the evil deeds. So you always play the good deeds on every playthrough.
The one you played the good guy the very first playthrough, and then on the second you intend to play the bad guy, but you can't force yourself to.
No, because there's this funny thing with the companions and everything. And if you do the good guy run first, at the very least, I think you get attached to the characters somewhat. So when you're going to do the first playthrough, you know the character, and you're like, I can't kill him or kill her or whatever. Or I like that character. So I think if you intend to play an RPG and be the bad guy, do that on the first run. So you aren't attached to anyone, and then do the good runs after. Yeah.
Easier to cut your losses when you don't know your losses.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but as I mentioned, I played the monk with the palm hand fist technique, which is very OP, especially in the later game.
Yeah.
Where you can, because you get the skill where you can punch someone and then just run. Then you get free of movement and no one can hurt you, I guess. Because, what is it? Attack of opportunity, is it?
Yeah,
no one gets that on you as a monk with if you strike someone. So you can run through the whole goddamn battlefield. And you get a stun.
Yeah, you can stun people, and that was really handy.
Yeah, that's too OP. Just stun lock bosses. Single target bosses.
Yeah, well, the thing with Baldur's Gate, with the freedom you're given, well, there are most likely, well, there are certain skills and builds and classes that are just plain better and in combat than others, just because of the way the game is designed. That's just... But I don't think if you want to go min-maxing in Baldur's Gate, you'll end up having a lot of fun if you do it every time, unless that's how you like to play your game. Maybe just play some fun build the next time something just for the heck of it, just to see something different.
I'm currently playing my second playthrough with another friend. And I thought, I went the ranger last time, and this time I want to do something fun. I want to play the bard. So I chose bard class. Mm-hmm. You know which weapons the bard use?
Bows and arrows.
It uses the handheld crossbow, which I currently used as my ranger. And it uses the...
loot.
That's not for fighting.
The rapier?
The rapier, yes. So I was thinking, okay, I need to try to focus the rapier attacks this time around instead of doing the same build as the last time with the arrows.
Mm-hmm.
And that turned out to be harder than I thought. Because the way the team is built up now, everyone is close combat things. And I, of course, have the damn crossbow again. So I end up using it a lot. So I said a couple of more levels so we can even things out. I will try to go on the rapier side of things and not rely on the crossbow too much.
But are you guys aware that you are able to switch up your build completely? With
yes.
Okay.
We know.
So you have the option if you play
a custom character, you can even change your appearance during the game as well.
Yeah. But you have the option.
Yeah, but you cannot change race and starting class, right? The proficiency. Because you get stats based on your race and your constitution. Yeah. So there's the mid-max.
Change most things.
Yeah, yeah, but...
I noticed some differences, because the first time around I played a Thieveling. This time around I play a Drow. And they welcomed me into the goblin camp like I was fucking god.
Yeah.
they like drows in the goblin camp, I tell but you.
They worship or fear them more so.
Yeah. So I enter the goblin camp and they're like, oh, you're like the other one that's here right now. go right in.
I don't remember this being this easy.
It was quite easy. They aren't hostile when you first arrive. But they were very welcoming towards me compared to my friend when he talked. They were just neutral. Towards me, I was like...
Second coming of Christ.
Yeah, the second coming of Christ, basically. Yeah, or a lord strolling into their base.
But speaking of... I know my second run through will be Gale as a sorcerer, but I want another build. I want to be a berserker who picks up people and throw them on other people.
I did that a lot during this playthrough as well, because I ended up with the same companion just for a little while now, as I had on my first run.
Just picking up people and throwing them off cliffs.
And I have Karl like throwing people off cliffs and whatnot now.
That's a Julia. I know you get the spear of your turn, which you can throw in someone and then you got it back. Anyhow, now we are speaking of games and such.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I and Thomas was trying to complete our campaign, doing the final boss, nobody tells you this, but Baldur's Gate is full of bugs, right? Baldur's Gate is really full of bugs. Weird bugs. And at some point, if you get too far into the game, like in the end game, you cannot join the multiplayer host. So after you do some wacky join at a later save and then rejoin.
What you're saying is when you get to the late game, the end play, the area is hostile all the time. So for some reason, when it is hostile, the co-op player can't join. So I have to load back to a safer point, like the camp or something, where he can join. And then they have to load back to the end game save file.
That's weird.
It is weird.
It is weird. It's a bug. But anyhow, during our final showdown, my PC kept breaking. So we have to load, reload, and my PC kept fucking breaking all the time.
Which just adds insult to injury.
Yeah, because I got blue screen, my PC crashed, Every single time. Yeah. I figured it out. It's my GPU temperature. Why is my GPU temperature that high? So I just open the cabinet, open the window. Yeah, let's go gaming. 0 degrees in here. Yeah, let's go. We got to beat the final boss, right?
Did it work?
It worked.
So you just sat there in the freezing, chilling room, but...
My PC was generating all the heat.
Mm.
So I was gaming, boys. And do you know why my PC was keeping overheating?
No, before you go there, I will add an annoying point of your fucking PC crashing when we did the game. Because we were gaming the first time around and we were fighting the last boss. And I was doing really well. And then Junior's PC crashed and I had to reload for him to join and load back to the last cutscene before the final boss. And we had to engage the fight again. And we were doing really great in the early goings, and his computer crashed again. So I had to load back to the camp to have him join, then load back, skip the cutscene, engage the boss battle again. And I had an ass battle that round as well. They made me lose all my weapons on the ground, so I had to use every fucking turn to pick them back up again. And then someone made me drop my weapons, and I had to use all my actions to pick up the weapons. Both my hand crossbows, 2 turns to pick up both of them. They made me lose my swords, which I were using in case of close quarter combats, because the archers can't hit the target straight in front of them. So I was losing everything. So while Junior and the companions were doing all the fighting, I were picking up weapons and trying to catch up with them in the other end of the battlefield. But we made it in the end.
We made it in the end. You beat the game, but I figured out why my PC keeps overheating. Because I was thinking, funny, my PC is just this quiet. So I opened MSE Afterburner, and I found out it was manually set to 0%, my CPU ban.
What? It was just shut off? 0%?
No.
For how long has it been running that long?
I think 10% is the lowest setting. So it was running 10% all.
No, some graphics cards a GPU fan off mode.
This didn't get off because I put my fingers in the fan to just feel for it.
It didn't get off. It didn't get off. I put my fingers in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got to feel it. I felt the fan.
Yeah, but have it been that way for long, or has something happened when you changed your RAM sticks?
My RAM sticks. Not my RAM sticks. My case. My whole case. When I changed my computer case. Since then, it's been like this.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, because I had some issues where my GPU fan was running 100% all the time.
Mm.
And I couldn't figure out why it did that. So
so you turned it off, basically.
Yeah, but it still ran 100%. So it was the power supply for some reason. Don't ask me why. But and then it worked. And then I didn't think about it. And that explains a lot of my gaming experience lately, because I don't game as much as I used to do. So, and I just figured Escape of Tarkov is ass. That is why I got these stutters, right?
But the true story was your GPU was overheating.
Yeah,
my
GPU
sweating.
It was suffocating in there. I was like, Tarkov, it's ass. I got stutters. Everyone got stutters. No.
No, in reality, Junior's computer was ass.
Not my computer.
Or your rebuild was ass.
I recall a time long, long ago when you had a computer, but you didn't have a case. So you literally just stuck it in. You made a case out of a cardboard box and just stuck your PC in there. Just like the bare components in a cardboard box.
Yes. It isn't too unusual. I think a lot of people have done that over the years, though. It's not uncommon.
It's find a big cardboard box and just make cutouts and put fans in it and just put your motherboard and everything in the box. that will be your case. It will that's work fine.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Oh, so remember, guys, check your MSA afterburn, because it's really hard to see if it's in the manual or auto.
I like to keep just an eye on my temperatures of my CPU and my GPU when I'm gaming. I like to have that like display overlay to like glance at every now and then to see the temperature.
It wasn't that bad, right? What is high temperature for your GPU, right?
Depends on what your usual temperature is and what.
Yeah, if you don't
generation, don't have what how old is it? What?
Yeah, if you don't have any bench, then how do you know?
Ah.
So well, I was running like 80, 90 degrees, and I was like, it should handle it.
Hmm. That's maybe normal for some, but yeah,
I remember that when I changed my son's old graphic card, the 780, and that runs on 80 degrees.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, so because that's their normal temperature. That's where they like stabilize. Mm-hmm. That's like standard for those. While for older generations, that would be considered very hot, and for it varies. You just have to look up your type of graphics cards and see if this is normal.
I'm just checking my GPU temperature as you speak, and it's like 52 degrees at the moment.
Yeah, but you don't use your GPU right now, right?
No, I don't.
No.
No.
Well, it's still a bit hard. It should be in the 40s.
Nah. Nah, man.
Doesn't matter when you're idling anyways.
Unless it's super hot.
Well, if it was 80 degrees and I was idling, it would matter, I think.
While we're on the topic of hot GPUs, I have been playing Helldivers, and I've noticed, not that my GPU has been running hot, my graphics card, but rather, Helldivers is kind of a hard game to run. So I've been spoiled with having... well, it's been ages now, but I used to upgrade my graphics cards very often to like have the very next best thing on the market, like almost always. But even now, like now in 2024, I'm running an RTX 2080 Ti.
Yeah, you're two generations behind, basically.
That's like... Yeah, and we're late into this second generation, and there's rumored next GPU launches coming. It's like I'm almost two or maybe even three generations behind soon. And I noticed my frame rates on my Helldivers is not where I want it to be, especially in the big fights where lots of aliens are coming at you. So it's like, do I just turn down the graphics, or am I going to purchase a new GPU now?
No, you're no, going pro. No, he should buy the GPU. Buy the GPU.
That way, my old GPU gets passed down at a discount to someone I know.
Someone you know. Someone in the keep it in the family.
The family being
it's
guys,
real Corona, but you have the family beer.
Family beer. Family.
I said that every time last summer when I bought Corona, but then I drank the regular one because I hadn't stopped drinking alcohol yet. And every time I picked it out from the freezer at the store, I said to my daughter, family. And I put it in the basket. And she was like, oh, Dad, you need to stop saying that.
Why? Because we are family.
But I haven't said it in a while.
You better do. You can still do it with the zero.
I can. I haven't seen Vin Diesel drink the zero one yet.
No, but she doesn't know.
She's in the movies.
Yeah, but she doesn't know it's alcohol. They don't drink alcohol on set, right? So
yeah, who knows?
just keep her on that. Speaking of family, I got those ram sticks for you right here. You want them?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Hand them over to him then.
I can there.
Just grab it.
Yeah, just grab it.
I have the same packets, so I should have brought mine, and I should just have pretended he handed them to me and have my here.
<It's> like magic.
Okay, Björn, I've seen your written introductions has changed some.
Yes. In the...
In the early game.
In the pre-woke days. You know where I'm going with this, maybe. We may have introduced ourselves, depending on the setting, with some relevant information that would identify you as the general basic info. And that would usually be, okay, what's your name? And it's like, what's your name? If it's a job interview, if it's an event or social event or something, and you're meeting new people, you introduce yourself with your name and maybe where you live, where you come from, what you do for work, and maybe how old you are.
And those are the basics you learn when you learn a different language as well. My name is, and I'm this many years old, and I come from here.
Yes, that's it. The basic introductions. Name, age, work.
ASL.
Age, sex, location. ASL. ASL. Where you live. Yeah, right. But nowadays, a lot of people find it really important to tell, well, the name's still important, but a lot of people prioritize their sexual alignment as priority number two. I am bisexual. I am a lesbian. I'm gay.
So next
or
time,
they're what they may identify themselves as bipolar. They identify.
You don't identify
them
as bipolar. That's
no, you are bipolar. They identify themselves as she or he or they. Like, I am Thomas, but yeah. I go by she.
I am a straight white man.
So the next time I introduce myself to someone new, I have to say, hi, my name is Thomas, I'm a heterosexual.
Straight white man.
But
I identify as he, him.
Yeah, but that sounds, if you rewind time, I don't know how many years, let's say 10 years, that wouldn't even be something you brought up in the introduction phase of yourself.
I don't think it should be today either. If someone comes up to me and introduces themselves and start ranting, if they are gay or heterosexual, I would probably just answer, doesn't matter, don't care.
Like, yeah, when you introduce yourself to someone at a social event, do you go, hi, my name is Thomas, I'm a heterosexual?
No.
Yeah, but
I identify as a white male.
Yeah, but I wonder, where's the next logical step? It would be like, hey...
The evolution of what? Of where we are now?
No, introducing yourself based on sexual preference. Then it would be based on sexual acts. Like, hey, my name is Kurt. I don't like getting stuff in my bum. I don't like anal in my bum.
But you like putting it into the anal.
I didn't say it.
Speaking of putting things in the bum, did I send you the video of how to skip military in, I think it was Turkey?
No.
No,
what's this?
You have to go into the military in Turkey. I think it was Turkey. I might be wrong. but some country. You have to. But you can get out of it if certain conditions are made. And one of them is if you're gay. But you have to prove that you're gay.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this before.
Yeah. In this guy's example that was brought up, he had to send them a picture which showed his face while he was doing the act with another man. But it didn't count if he was the one giving. He had to be the one receiving. that would be that specific. Yeah, so that was the proof that he was a gay man, and then he could skip or not have to join the military.
That's
so technically, by their standards, you're only gay if you receive.
Okay, so we have a final answer for this question. If anyone was ever wondering, Turkey has your answer. The Turkish military has your answer.
I feel like this is kind of a too good story because Turkey isn't famously known for having gay people, right?
Yeah, no,
well, not officially.
I might be wrong on the country, but I thought they said Turkey in the movie, but I might have misheard. But anyway, that also give. We have all seen the guy, the clip. The guy says, "I have. What is it? He has a relationship with women, but he has sex with men. So he might not actually be gay if he was the one giving and not receiving, because they didn't specify in the clip."
What does he say in that video then? But I hate to break it to you, but that means you're gay. Or something.
Yeah, it's one of that. It's kind of funny though.
Yeah, that means you're gay.
And he's it's funny in a sad way.
Yeah, he sees his life just like.
What? I'm not straight.
This is new to me.
Okay, guys, if you could gallivant somewhere on
if
a holiday.
If you could what?
Do some gallivanting.
Gallivanting? Would
I think he's referring to the leftover topic from last week.
No, I'm just asking how would, if you can have any holiday, where would you go? Right.
Oh, if you had a free choice.
If I could just free choice of travel anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Thomas, let's say it together. 3, 2, 1. Japan.
And if you couldn't go to Japan, then what's
fuck.
The next?
Then we shouldn't say it together. Maybe South Korea, I think.
Holy shit!
Okay, so it's as close as I can get to Japan. And then I can come off vacation and people ask, where did you go? I almost went to Japan.
I was on a journey to almost Japan.
Where they made Squid Game. Well, I don't know what my second choice would be, honestly.
No, wait, I'm a single man. I would probably go to Finland, because they have a lot of hot chicks in Finland.
Welcome single men?
I don't know, but I do know they have a lot of hot girls in Finland.
Maybe so. Would that be a reason for going to vacation there?
Yeah.
In that by itself?
As a single man, why not?
What about Germany? Dubai? Or
I would be hesitant to go to a country where the political views are so different to your native country that you might get in trouble.
You as a man would probably not get in trouble.
Yeah, no, I guess not.
Men are mostly safe traveling around the world.
Men are privileged that way, I guess. We'll have to admit.
Yeah, of course.
Needs to be some perks being a man.
In this day and age, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not our fault. It's more safety to travel as
a man. That's not the fault of white men, though.
That's not the fault of we.
We shouldn't feel guilty for being men.
No.
God damn it.
Not in Norway. Keep that. But what about Denmark or Netherlands or Spain or France or the USA?
USA.
I'm honestly not too keen of traveling to America at all.
No, it was just
Canada and Japan, sure, but I as a second, I don't know if I would agree with Thomas on South Korea other than No, I...
If I'm being completely honest, I really don't know for a second, because there isn't that many places I really want to experience. Like, sure, I could go to Spain or the Canary Islands or do that whole thing all Norwegians do. Turkey.
Yeah, they go somewhere. The Norwegians like to travel somewhere tropical and warm, because in Norway it's fucking cold and freezing cold.
There are really cheap planes from here to Poland, though, so I know many people that go to Poland. And I haven't seen Auschwitz and such. Might be an experience just going there.
Wait, Auschwitz is in Poland?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't I know that?
I don't know, but you don't haven't. You haven't been paying attention. No, I haven't. History line.
No.
A certain man built this camp there.
A certain camp you went to concentrate.
Yeah. The most concentration you ever got.
Yeah. I've been wondering taking the kids there for a weekend, long weekend, say 4 or 5 days.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but there's so much to live through and experience that you don't even have to go outside of Europe, right? I would love to be in a week in Germany, right?
Yeah, Europe has a lot to offer on its own.
Go to Germany in October.
Don't or do?
Do.
Do. I hear they got beer there.
Yeah. Of course they got beer. They got beer everywhere.
I was many, many years ago when I was an apprentice, we went to Berlin in October through a work party, and it was fucking wild. Holy shit. Yeah. So, Germany during October. Go to any mid-sized to large city. It's going to be epic.
Berlin ain't a mid-sized.
No. But if you went there and even was in a mid-sized or a small town, I'm sure it would be epic. But I guess you could say that for a lot of other places, a lot of other countries as well, with certain events local to that country. So... yeah, go see things. Just be, I guess.
Yeah.
But traveling is expensive.
No.
Do the Beyblade route.
The Beyblade route?
It isn't a route per se, but we have all the three of us, we grew up watching the original Beyblade series.
Beyblade.
And they start out in Japan, right? Because that's where they are. They do a local tournament, and they qualify, and they go to America, and they go to France, and they go to Russia. But we shouldn't do the Beyblade route.
maybe cut it short.
But I remembered wrongly, because when they are in France, they meet four royal people. One is French, one is English, one is Italian, and I don't remember the last one, but I was thinking they went to the different places in Europe, but I don't think they do. They are in France.
Boys! But,
you could do that. England, France, Germany, and Italy, for instance.
Boys.
The boys? Boys. Us no. Boys? Who's boys?
We are the boys. Ah, okay.
The baby boys?
The baby boys. What?
Where are we going? Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. I was just looking at tickets to Berlin.
Oh, uh-huh. I thought you were... Okay.
140 bucks.
Huh?
Yes.
Both ways?
Yes.
From Oslo?
From Evenes.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's cheap. Plane tickets are cheap right now.
Why are inland travels more expensive than going to fucking Germany?
Yeah, it is.
I paid like seven times that to travel from here to the top of Norway where you guys live.
Within the same country, just yeah. along the length of the country.
But that's because Norway adds a lot of taxes on your flights. So, like, 1/3 of my plane ticket is actually taxes. So, yeah.
Yeah. Berlin, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
Ah, not so 50 bucks.
Really? Yeah.
There are cheap travels from here to England as well. Cheap, I think, a couple of years ago, you could travel from here, as I said, to Poland for like 30 bucks.
Yeah, this
for
is
a weekend or so. So yeah.
This is cheapest in May.
A colleague of mine recently went to London, and I thought, that must have been expensive, but maybe not.
I think the most expensive part of his plane ticket was from north of Norway to south of Norway. Then the cheap part came from Norway to England.
yeah, maybe.
No, not really, because... If you're traveling outside, then it's all like a package price.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, Italy.
If you check those prices, can you see what the price is going out of Norway and coming back to Norway? Because I bet the price back to Norway is slightly more expensive than the trip out of Norway.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
because
like,
when you come back, you're paying them sweet ass taxes.
Yeah, but this is the cheapest tickets, right?
Mm.
With no luggage, no nothing.
Just your handbag.
Yeah, just your handbag. So, but
I could survive with just handbag, I guess.
Yeah, you can.
It's your wallet and your toothbrush, and that's what you need.
The Reacher style.
Reacher style. Yeah, so...
Reacher style, then you have to find a thrift shop in the next country to buy your clothing at. But shall we move on to the last topic, Junior?
What is the last topic?
It is Vive la France!
Vive la France! Where the fuck up there?
Scroll up.
It's from last week, so it's above the titles for last week's episode.
Vive l'abortion?
Yeah, vive l'abortion.
Is this France?
Yeah, because Björn talked last week about abortion in America.
Yeah.
Yes, and how the general mentality... I talked about some Reddit thread I scrolled past, r/Ohio, which is a state in America where some... person had claimed that we should, people in Ohio, as in we, the human race, should ban all, like, ban abortions and ban all, like, what's it called?
It was pro-life at the very least, and very abortions and stuff like that.
Very pro-life and very conservative to the extreme. So that's like the American side of things in some states. Meanwhile, in France, recently, it's now officially a constitutional right. It's written in the French Constitution that you are allowed to take an abortion.
That's good.
So they it's like America does their things over there, while the rest of the world does, well, it seems like they're doing the complete opposite.
That's good, because in America, you can be pregnant, go to the doctors, and he will say, what, you got raped by your uncle? Oh, that's too bad. That's a life. You're keeping it.
That's literally how it is. How it could be. And
I tried to combine two evil things into one there.
Yeah. But and yeah, you still have
to keep the fucking child.
If that ever happened.
In some states, yeah. So having it as a constitutional right, that sounds amazing.
Yeah,
And as the woke people say, my body, my choice.
Yeah, the whole shit.
That holds true. I can agree with that statement as yeah, far but, as I... Yeah.
But the French are like almost the rise of church, right? They're the most Christian people out there. Except the Italians.
I don't know anything don't know. About that. But if that's true, then even despite that fact being...
religious, yeah.
Religious, they still put abortion in their constitution. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's does that speak volumes of how different the countries of this world are? It's just mind-boggling too. And recently, didn't I mention Germany legalized recreational use of weed.
Yeah. 420. Yeah, place it.
So it's like changes are being made. Mm-hmm. Some for the better, some for the worse. But yeah. We'll have to accept change to some degree, regardless. I just
the world is a constant change, isn't it?
Yes, and it's. Is it our? We're all part of this. What gets decided in the very end, and usually it's a very small minority of people that are very vocal and shouts very loudly about their opinions that gets their way because they shout their opinion, and the vast majority of people who are just in the middle and just neutral in everything, they're just twiddling their thumbs and being silent, just like I just don't have any particular opinion about any of these choice A or choice B. So most people just stay neutral and try to go live their lives, but those people, the majority, are not the most vocal ones.
No, so, but we should fucking start to be.
Maybe the majority should be more vocal.
We need it. Now the minorities are running everything.
Yes, it seems like that way. It seems like the majority of people have to adjust the majority's ways because a very small minority of people are very
powerful, are
shouting very loudly, and therefore gaining a lot of attention.
And because the politicians notice them also, because they're everywhere in the media, they're shouting out everywhere, and the politicians are, this is what the people want, this is what we do.
Nah, I feel like there's some money involved, some lobbying. Well,
there could be, but not officially.
Did you actually know that the Congress are allowed to own stocks and trade stocks?
I've no idea how that works, but
in Norway they are not allowed.
In Norway they're not allowed, because they do make major changes which involve stocks, right? But anyhow, with that bombshell of a news, we are through and done. Hit the like, subscribe, send us money to keep this show rolling. We are really dependent on money. Like, favorite, subscribe. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.